we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and you're listening to 91.5 WMIE FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. If you're listening at 10:30, you're on WWBC 1510 AM. Like I said, my name is Bob Arthurs. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God, and we are so excited about what God is doing and what is coming in the weeks and months ahead at Merritt Assembly of God. And so we want to invite you, if you do not have a church home, to come and be a part of that. We'll be announcing a little bit later, after Easter, some exciting things that are coming in a couple of months that we just got confirmation of here about a week ago. Really, really excited about it. It involves our 65th anniversary service. So want to remind you that this is the spring fundraiser, the offering here at WMIE. And if this radio station is a blessing to you, you might want to give them a call, 632-1000, and say, we would like to partner with you for the next 6 months in keeping Christian radio going here in Brevard County. I was listening to it during a trip I made last week, and got it quite a ways down south. I was traveling down to visit a friend. Actually, that was a couple of weeks ago, but I got to test the broadcast limits as we went further and further down. But thank you for tuning in, and we do want to get into the Word of God today. And do want to encourage you, if you do call in, make a pledge, just let them know you're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. That feedback helps us immensely. Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 1, says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." So we're going to look at, going to look today at What does it look like when the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me? And what I mean by that is the best representation that we can get of what the Lord God ruling and reigning looks like is in heaven. The Word of God describes a lot of different spiritual realities, but not all of those are of God's Spirit. There's three different sources of Spirit that operate in the world. There's God's Spirit. We always want to do what he wants. There's demonic spirits. We don't ever want to do what they want. And then there's man's spirit, and that's kind of the spirit that it's kind of flexible. Sometimes it does what God wants, and sometimes it doesn't. The Bible talks about prophets who prophesied out of their own spirit instead of the Spirit of God. So today we're going to begin looking at what is the reality when the Lord God is upon us. What spiritual dynamics are taking place when the Lord God is ruling and reigning, and what spiritual dynamics are excluded? I was doing some study last week. I was reviewing an article. It described some of the analytics of what make up Christians in America, where a good number of people identify themselves as Christians, but very few have any responsibility. They don't feel any responsibility for communicating the gospel with anyone else. And this was a study done by George Barna, and he's identified in his survey that only about 10% of the people who do actively communicate the gospel do so with an accurate biblical worldview. And I may share some of those things with you at a later time, some of the things that he had identified. But one of the bizarre things was that the more educated a pastor becomes, the higher level of education he achieves, the less responsibility that he has to personally communicate the gospel with his community around him. And I don't want to be guilty of that. And so we are praying for our community at Merit Assembly of God. We're praying for them to be saved. We're praying for God to minister to them and draw them close, because we know that that is going to be the best life that they will ever experience. And so let's look at this. Now, I want you to understand that there is no higher authority than the Lord God. He is the self-existent one. He is the self-sustaining one. He is the sovereign of all sovereigns, the King of all kings, and the Lord of all lords. When he rules and reigns, when he is residing in our heart, when his will is manifesting in our life, it is going to be glorious. It will be heaven on earth. It is going to be absolutely wonderful. So I've compiled a list here, and these are out of the scriptures, but we've spent so much time already on Isaiah 61:1. I may not give you all of the scriptural references. Some of them we talked about because they're passages that come from earlier in the book of Isaiah. But I want you to know, where the Spirit of the Lord God rests, there's going to be life. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is life. I just want to encourage you today that Jesus didn't just come so that you could exist. He came that you could have life and have it to the full, or have it more abundantly. And our houses of worship, when we come together, they should be houses that are vibrant, that are filled with life and expectancy and hope. We've been preaching for the past several weeks on marching, and one of the messages that I preached was that that God wants his people marching in the Spirit, that Jesus marched the march of redemption. And then I preached that the saints of God are supposed to march in the footsteps of faith, of the faith of Abraham, that we are supposed to be marching in faith. And this last week I preached on those things that are left behind and those things that we are marching towards. And so and this coming week we're going to be celebrating Palm Sunday, and I'm going to be preaching a message that I believe is going to be very relevant and impactful for people's lives. And then we're going to be beginning a series on Easter Sunday, a 3-week series, and about the resurrection and what that means for you and for me. The resurrection is not just a historical fact. It changed our world. It changed our personality. It changed our future. It changed the dynamic of how things were operating in this world. It switched the keys of authority back into the hands of Jesus. Now he holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to him, and so therefore we can go and teach and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Everything changed because of the resurrection. I'm very excited about the word that we're going to be sharing in the weeks ahead. It's this, where the Spirit of the Lord God is, there is life. There is life. And so I want to ask you today, is the life of God in you? There used to be a chorus that said, I got the life of God in me. And so I want you to know that if you've got the life of God in you, there's nothing that the devil is going to be able to do to take that away. Life is more than just existence here on planet Earth. It is knowing that you have a purpose, and that is to bring glory and honor to our King, our Lord, and our Savior. And so if you are going through a difficult season, I want you to know that God's Spirit revives the depressed and the discouraged and those who've gone through difficult roads. Jacob was a man who had experienced heartache when the love of his life, Rachel, died. And then his oldest son by Rachel, Joseph, he started having these spiritual dreams, and God was speaking to him about future events, and his brothers got jealous and sold him into slavery, and it gutted Jacob. Listen, you can be walking in covenant with God. The devil believes that if he brings adversity our way, that we will curse God and we will deny him. Jacob was a person who, even though he continued to live, he was in need of his spirit being revived. And you can find in Genesis, the 45th chapter, and verse number 27, it said, "But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived." And, you know, when I think of that word reviving, I think of a person who has lost consciousness. They've lost the ability to breathe. Maybe their heart has stopped functioning, and all of a sudden there is an external force that comes to work in their body, and all of a sudden their body is revived and function is restored. And they realize, listen, do you know that when Jacob got to Egypt, he ended up being the agent that God used to bless Pharaoh. Pharaoh brought sustenance to Jacob and his children and the entire family, but he asked Jacob to bless him, and Jacob leaned upon his staff and he blessed him. You can't be a blessing unless God has revived your spirit. Now, I want you to know today that God wants all of his saints revived by the Spirit of the living God. You and I are not supposed to be walking around just functioning, going through the motions day in and day out. You know, I see that a lot of times. People go in, they punch the clock, they go, they do their job. I mean, a robot could do their job. They're just that dynamic. But I believe that God wants you and I revived to the point that we are jubilant, that we are happy, and that we are filled with the life of God inside of us. I don't know what might have happened in your life that might have gutted you, it might have demoralized you and discouraged you, but I've got good news for you today, that I've been sent with a message that God has not forgotten you, even though it may be a time of famine, that he has positioned sustenance, and the dreams that he has given to people, the plans that he has for you, those are still going to come to pass, because his plans cannot be thwarted. They cannot be hindered. And so allow the Spirit of God to revive you today. There's not going to be anybody that when we get to heaven, that they're going to be sitting around the throne with their arms folded, not participating. You won't find that anywhere in Scripture. We had some discussions here a couple of weeks ago, and with some men, and said, you know what, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to have any questions that I want to ask God. I've just got one thing I want to do, and I just want to worship Him because I'm just going to be so glad to be there. Where do you want me, God? What do you want me to do? But I'm going to worship Him, and I'm going to declare His glory and His praises. I don't know about you, but I'm just thankful for the Lord God. A devotional that I do on a pretty regular basis. I was reading it a little over a week ago, and the pastor said that his son had just come back from visiting a ministry. They've been doing, you know, round the clock worship and prayer for a long, long time, and this pastor's son said, "What have you learned?" And they said that Jesus is beautiful. That Jesus is beautiful. Let's not lose the wonder and the awe of the one who has saved us, of the one who's called us and adopted us into His family. The Spirit of the Lord God revives us, and I want you to know that He will sustain you. He is not only the one who gives you life, He is the one that sustains life. You are going to find that there is no famine in heaven. There is no lack in heaven. There is not a limited amount of resources in heaven. There's just all sorts of amazing, wonderful things that take place. God is your sustenance. He is Jehovah Jireh. So allow Him to sustain you. But don't ever forget that God is the ruler. He is the one who is in charge. In all honesty, we struggle with this concept in Western civilization. When I was in college, we took a course called Western Civilization. The Bible was not written from a Western civilization mindset. The closest that you can get is that the New Testament was written in Greek and Aramaic, which Greece tends to fall into the Western mindset, but it was written by Jewish people, which have a Middle Eastern mindset. And one of the things that we struggle with the fact that here everybody gets a vote, and so we see political transitions and philosophies coming and going and fluctuating and this happening and that happening and all of that sort of stuff. And we hear things like, you know, I don't want my voice or my vote disenfranchised and all that. And I'll be honest with you, the only voter disenfranchisement that I have seen here in America in the past 15 or 20 years is the fact that people vote and then judges overrule their vote and throw out the laws that the people of the land wanted in place. That's the voter disenfranchisement that I see, but we will just move right on along. the mindset that we need to realize as believers is that the kingdom of God is not a democracy. I remember growing up, my father let us know, he said, America might be a democracy, but this house is not a democracy. And if you're living in my house, you will live by my rules and you will change the channel. This was before my dad had the ability to change television channels while sitting on the sofa. Long before they'd ever come out with remote controls, he would say, "Get up and change the channel." Well, there were only four. There was ABC, NBC, CBS, and PBS. Those were the four stations that we had. And so, you know, he would say, "Okay, get up there and change this," and we would change the channel. God is the ruler. He's the boss. He has every prerogative to be able to decree to us, this is what you are to do. Now, the reality is that God does not want us as automatons. He doesn't want us functioning as robots. God, in His sovereign will, has chosen to give us a free will, the ability to decide. of whether we are going to do what he wants or whether we are not going to do what he wants, and we're going to do what we want or what somebody else is telling us to do. But it's God's plan that is going to come to pass. You know, there was a man in the scripture, and he said, I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to say to myself, you know what, you've worked hard, you've accumulated a lot of stuff, and basically what he said is, I'm going to retire. I'm going to live off of this abundance, and the scripture said that that night his soul was going to be required of him. You know, the only things that you and I are going to be rewarded for are those things, those acts of obedience that we did in faith because we acknowledged the authority of Jesus Christ. He is the ruler. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it describes in the Bible how all the kings of the earth will gather against him, and it will not matter. All the peoples of the earth can gather against him, and it will not change the reality that God is going to constantly rule and reign. He is the spirit of the ruler. In Isaiah chapter 11, we also read of some things that we've already talked about, so I'm not going to spend a tremendous amount of time, but it says in Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So if we look at Isaiah chapter 11 and Isaiah chapter 61, that when the Spirit of the Lord rests upon us, that there's also going to be supernatural wisdom, not carnal wisdom. There is going to be understanding, not a lack of understanding. There is going to be counsel that is being given to us instead of us trying to give counsel to God. You know, I don't know if you have ever tried to tell God the process that he was going to have to utilize to accomplish something, but I've never won one of those discussions. It is the spirit of might. He is the Almighty God, the supernatural God. There is nothing, there is no obstacle that is too difficult for him, no problem that is too challenging for him to solve. It's the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. See, I've had a number of people through my years of interacting with people of faith and people who weren't of faith and people who weren't of faith and now they are of faith. I've dialogued with a lot of people. I've worked for people who you name it, and I've probably had them as a boss. I've probably worked with them. And so there's no one that I have ever come across that I couldn't have a dialogue with. Now, if they're just looking to stand there and argue, then I'm not interested in that. I've got too much to do, and I'm not going to argue over stupid stuff. But anytime that we think that we have it all figured out, I literally had a person tell me this one time that when they got to heaven, they were going to explain to God how everything operated down here on earth, how difficult it was, how challenging it was, why they didn't respond to Jesus' invitation of faith. And they were persuaded in their own mind that God was going to just say, well, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't realize how challenging it was. Go ahead and come on in. That's not the way it's going to be. The spirit of knowledge. Listen, if God, the God of all the universe, cares so much about us that he knows the number of hairs on our head, that he knows the plans he has for us, that he knows why he created us, he knows the thoughts and the intents that we have going on in our heart, if he knows the number of days that we're going to live, if he orders the steps that we are to take, if he's that intimately aware of us, how desperately should we be seeking to know him better and better and better? If you are still breathing, if you're listening to this broadcast, there's more about Jesus for you to know. adopt the humble mindset of a child of God and say, God, teach me your ways. You know, of all the people in the Bible, one of them that is the most admired and the most looked up to and has the reputation for knowing God just about as well as anybody was Moses. And in Moses, he had two prayers. God, show me your glory, and God, teach me your ways. Show me your glory and teach me your ways. A lot of people I know want to be crying out, God, show me your glory. But I wonder if the same people who are praying that prayer are also praying, God, teach me to be more like you. Teach me to be more like you. This last 6 months have probably been some of the most transformative in my life, where God has been teaching me things from his word that I had never seen before. A lot of people, you know, I'll just share with you this series that I have been doing on marching, that came from seeing some things in the word of God that I'd never seen before. That some of the words, there's five times in the scriptures that the word that we tend to translate predominantly as walk, it actually means march, as in a military formation. One of them is march in the spirit, and so we want to do that, and then we march in the footsteps of faith, and so, you know, that means that there's a much more intentional thing. We're not just out for a casual lover stroll. We're not just out wherever the path will take us or wherever our feet carry us. We are on a mission. Military personnel, when they learn to march, everybody marches in unison to the commander. And I believe that Christianity in America would be much better served if we realized that we're the students and God is the teacher. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. And of the fear of the Lord, Isaiah 11:2 says, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. I believe that one of the great attributes that when the Spirit of the Lord God comes upon us is that we are going to appreciate his presence. I've got another sermon I'm working on about just how vitally important the presence of God is. You and I, listen, no program will substitute for his presence. Your experience is no substitute for his presence. Your personality can't make up for his presence. We need Isaiah 61 to be our testimony. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. God bless you. Don't forget the fundraiser, 632-1000. Call them and let you know you heard about them here on Refresh. See you tomorrow. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.